evening. Just want to mention as well, I've left a couple of some bits of literature down at the back. This is the European magazine, if you want to take one and read a little bit more about some of the things that are happening and some stories that's happening across Europe, please take one of these. We've also left our latest prayer letter. If you want to take a copy of that, you can take it. There's also some prayer cards down there. If you want to take them, maybe it will help you to remind you to pray at some stage if you want to do that. Let us pray just for a little second as we come to God's word. Our Father, we just ask you now, Lord, for a blessing, Lord, that you will come amongst us and bless us and help us, Father, and Lord, speak to us, Father, through your word. Lord, we realize tonight, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you in this country. Lord, we need you to come in your power and in your glory, Lord, and work. And Lord, we just look to you tonight. Bless us now, Father, as we look at your word just for a few moments. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Tuesday, the 12th of January, 2010, at 16:63 local time, in the little country of Haiti, if I've said that right, something happened. The ground started to shake. An earthquake had taken place. And before the people could even realize what had happened, destruction had come. It is estimated that through that earthquake, that massive earthquake, one of the worst in living history, they think, the death toll had reached somewhere around 220,000 people had lost their lives. It is reckoned that there was somewhere around 300,000 buildings very badly damaged or collapsed in that earthquake. For the people that lived in that small country, this was absolute devastation. How could anyone ever come back from that? What would ever happen to many people who had lost their homes, lost their loved ones? They faced a great devastation. Terrible times lay ahead for them as they tried to come to terms with what had happened. It must have been a little bit like that for David and his men. They had been away fighting. These were hardened warriors. Yes, they had made some mistakes. David had made some mistakes when we come to this book and Samuel. David had made some mistakes. He had joined himself to the enemy. He was now helping the Philistine army. And he had went to offer help to go and fight David's own people, the Israelite people. And the Philistine army, many of them became afraid, and they instructed that David and his men be sent back to Ziklag. Ziklag had been given to them to set up home in. They had brought their families there. 600 men. They had set up home. They had went to battle. Another mistake that they had made, they had left their home unprotected. Not only had they joined themselves to the enemy, but they didn't leave anybody to protect their families or their children. And the enemy came in like a flood and caused absolute devastation. When we come to 1 Samuel chapter 30, we can read some of the words that happened. In fact, it tells us very simply that this enemy that came in had burned Ziklag. Can you imagine what it was like for David and his men as they came on horseback. And as they came out over the horizon down, and all they could see was the smoke, what was going on? And they arrived to that place, and there was absolute silence. There was no children playing. There was no wives to welcome them home. Everything was gone. Of course, it's easy for us because we can look back to this time as we read it from God's word, and we can see how God protected David and looked after him. God was working all things together for good, because David was the one that was going to be appointed the next king in Israel. And God was protecting that. Can you imagine what it would have been like if David had went and fought the Israelites with the Philistines, and then God had brought him back there to be their king? No, God was working everything out. He was actually protecting David. Even though David probably couldn't see the hand of God, God was looking after him. Even though David had failed God, and even though that David had lived in disobedience to God, God was still looking after him. Tonight, for a few moments, I want to look at three very simple things out of this passage. I want to look at the devastating attack. That's my first thing. David and his 600 men. Yes, they could smell the smoke. Everything was silent. Everything was burned. No people, no family, nobody around. They'd been taken captive. How do you think they felt? They didn't know where they were. They didn't know what way to turn. I thought it was interesting in this passage of Scripture how it talks about the men, the wives, their sons, and their daughters. God lays it out very clearly for us. This was a whole family that was taken away. It affected the very children. They had been snapped away by the enemy. These hardened, toughened soldiers, what did they do? They were brought to tears. In fact, they were actually brought to their knees because they cried so hard they could cry no more. These hardened, toughened men were brought to the very end of themselves. There seemed to be no hope in this devastating attack. Everything was gone. Maybe you asked yourself, well, Andrew, what has this to do with even thinking of CEF or thinking of the children? How does this apply to our life, to our world that we live in today? How does this apply to Britain today? What has the enemy done? The enemy has come in like a flood. So he has. The enemy has come in like a flood. And what have they taken? They have taken our children. You say, what do you mean, Andrew? How have they taken our children? What is the enemy doing? What about drugs? Identity. Transgenderism. The list goes on and on and on. And the enemy is stealing our families. They're stealing our children. They're taking them right from under our feet. Why is this happening? Well, I believe we've taken our eyes off God as a nation. In many areas, we've forgot about God. It's getting more difficult to go into the schools to tell the children about God because nobody wants to hear it anymore. Nobody wants to hear about their sin. Oh, so you're okay. Don't worry about it. You steal, you tell lies. You're not, don't do that again. You're a naughty boy. But it's okay. Keep going on. Don't worry about it. They're not hearing the truth of God's word. And the enemy is stealing them away. John Calvin said, the surest source of destruction to men is to obey themselves. And that's what's happening in this nation of ours. Men are just obeying themselves, and we're losing our children, the next generation. The Bible commands us to teach them the things of God. And yet we're being told, no, you can't. You must stop. You cannot tell them about God. You can tell them about everything else. You can tell them they can do what they want. You can tell them, oh, you're not really bad. Sin? Oh, no, you can't use that word. You can tell them you can choose your own identity. But you can't tell them about God. Men are obeying themselves, and they have forgot about God. That's what happened to David and his men here. David actually had forgot about God for some time. He had joined himself to the enemy. And God had allowed this devastation to come. Dear friend, tonight I want to ask you, what is God going to allow to happen in our country to bring us back to Him? How far will it have to go? We are already losing our children. What will we do? Maybe you're in here tonight and you're not even saved. You are the enemy. You're the enemy of God. My prayer is tonight that you will not remain the enemy of God. That you will get onto the Lord's side. And that you will be saved. There was a devastating attack. But there was also a wonderful blessing here. Because even though David had forgot about God, God had never forgot about David. And God was still there for David. And the men, they had got ready to stone David. They had turned against him. They had turned bitter. His own men were turning their back on David. And they were turning to stone him. And what did David do? In verse 8 we read, and David inquired of the Lord. What did he do? He remembered God. And he turned in prayer to God. This is a what can I do prayer. Lord, look what has happened. The enemy has come in and stolen everything. We're left with nothing. God, what can we do? Lord, where do we turn now? Lord, do you want us to go after them? Do you want us to fight God? Lord, what is it you want us to do? David opened his heart to God. Even though everyone was against him, his own men were against him. They wanted rid of him. But David turned to God. Think of this world that we live in and how the enemy has stolen our children and our families. Surely it is time to say, Lord, what do you want us to do? Lord, how do we win our families back for God? Lord, show us. I've used this quote a couple of times this weekend already, and I'm going to use it with you today. One of the great men of Scotland said, John Knox, he said, give me Scotland or I die. What are we going to do for our children? Are we going to say, Lord, give me Glasgow or I die? Give me Scotland, give me Britain. It's time to turn back to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Mary, Queen of Scots, who was queen at the time John Knox was here, she said this, she feared the prayer of John Knox more than all the armies of Europe. I wonder tonight, dear friend, does our government fear the prayers of us? Do they see the hand of God working? I believe we need to get back to prayer. It's great, and CEF Beulah organizes a monthly prayer meeting for the whole of CEF Europe to come together every month to cry out for the lives of the children of Europe. We need more of it. We need to pray. We need to have that desire within our hearts to turn to God and to cry on to Him for help. The third thing tonight that I want to leave with you very briefly is that there was a determination, a reignited determination in David to take everything back. We read about what he'd done. He cried out to God, and God said to him, David, go and take everything back. Go and fight. Go and fight for your family, for your children. And David pursued after them. He didn't stand around waiting. He got his 600 men and they headed off. Some of them were so tired they couldn't cross the valley, and they were left there. They were left behind, and he went on with 400 men. I'm sure as David went with 400 men to face all these Amalekites, I thought, what's going on? How could he ever do this? But he was doing it in the strength of the Lord. It tells us here that David strengthened himself in God. And he went take back what he'd lost. What do we need to do today? The enemy has stole our children, or stealing our children. Until all these ideas of man, what are we going to do? Well, the first thing, we need to cry to God. And then we need to take them back. We need to fight for our children. We need to make sure they hear God's word, that they hear the gospel, so that they have the opportunity to trust in the one true and living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. John Knox also said, I will keep the ground that God has given me, and perhaps in His grace He will ignite me again. I wonder what needs to happen in Scotland in 2024. I believe God needs to ignite us again. He needs to set us on fire for Him. These men, just like David and these men in the Bible, they had that determination to fight and to stand for God and His word, to take back all that was lost. Dear friend, tonight, we need to be people that are willing to share the gospel and to reach the lost for Christ. We need to be on fire for Him. We need to be willing to take a stand, even while others are falling around us. I wonder, will we all say, here we stand, I can do no more. But stand and fight with God's word in our hand. When we read the last part of this story in 1 Samuel 30, what did God do? He gave them a great blessing because he gave them everything back. They lost absolutely nothing. They got the children back. They got their wives back. They got their family unit back. God will bring the blessing. But he requires us to be faithful. A challenge in today's world. Maybe faithfulness will come at a high price. Are you willing to do it for God? For our families? For the next generation? Have that determination within your soul that no matter what comes, you will stand for God. Just like David and his men did. They fought the fight. They won the victory. God was with them, and God brought the blessing. What about us today? Do we want God's blessing? Or are we just happy to get through life and say, okay, we've done our bit? Are we willing to go and to fight, to share the gospel? No matter what man says, and to tell them of Jesus. I trust and pray that God will bless these few words to your heart, even this night.